Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. Today's program will be another in my Health Challenges series. My guest is Bob Ritter. Ritter is a writer as well as executive director of the Cancer Resource Center. He will soon step down as executive director, but will continue his involvement with the organization. He will also continue to write his popular cancer column for the Ithaca Journal, which he has been penning for over 10 years. Ritter has recently been diagnosed with a very rare auto-inflammatory disorder called periodic fever syndrome. We'll discuss his 40-year journey dealing with this mysterious syndrome, which began presenting symptoms when he was in his early 20s. And welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, another rare disease for Bob Ritter. Now, it took decades for this diagnosis to happen, but tell us what was happening. In your early 20s, you started developing these weird rashes. Mm-hmm. Tell us the story.
I remember I was doing an internship one summer in a hospital, and I had this very large, strange rash over my torso. And didn't know what it was, and I showed a couple of doctors there, and they didn't know, but it went away in a couple of days, and I thought, well, it's just a weird thing. But then, roughly once a year, I'd get another mysterious rash that would appear and look odd, hang around for 2-3 days and disappear, and a couple times I would show different doctors, and they would always say, wow, that's quite a rash. I have no idea what it is.
They must have thought it was an allergic reaction.
Right.
Or some kind of a,
yeah,
you know.
It looked kind of like hives.
Yeah. Did it hurt at all? Was it presenting as a coloration on your body?
It just looked like a coloration. It didn't really hurt. I didn't really feel bad. So it's just this odd quirk that would happen from time to time. And that never gave it a whole lot of thought. But over the last 5 years, the rashes have gotten both more frequent. Instead of once a year, they began happening a couple times a year. And now I get them about 6 times a year, roughly every other month.
Oh, my God.
And also the rashes are more extensive. They cover most of my body, and it looks mostly like a sunburn. In fact, one rash looked like I was dipped in raspberry syrup.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That must have scared you, though, when it first started happening.
Well, it was mysterious. I just couldn't explain it. And also, too, that particularly over the last few years, whenever I get the rash, I also feel bad. I've had this, what I call a punk feeling.
Yeah, where I feel, like malaise or flu-ish.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like I need to go to bed and take it easy and... You know, although the acute phase still lasts for about 3 days, it takes me a couple weeks to bounce back.
Wow.
It's very similar to the flu when, you know, you can go back through the motions at first, but you aren't fully there for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And it's been recurring. So began to get a little bit more serious about trying to figure out what it might be.
And you were going to allergists, you were going to, you know, just your GP.
And... Yeah, GP and dermatologist, and then thought, well, maybe it's some sort of allergic reaction. It looked like that.
Was anybody giving you creams or medications that they thought these were certain things?
Yeah, different dermatologists and different people gave me creams. They really made no difference. You know, a few people had different hypotheses, but never was very clear. The allergist did a lot of tests and said, I don't know what this is, but it's not allergic in nature, and these aren't hives.
Oh, leave it to Bob Ritter to have a mysterious, rare disease.
Really?
No, so finally you went to a dermatologist who began to think this might be this autoimmune, rare.
Well, actually, it's not even autoimmune. It's a different category called auto-inflammatory diseases, which is related to autoimmune, but somewhat new. It's different and much newer in sort of knowledge.
Oh, God. It's what a mystery it is, what's going on in this world.
It is.
And so to tell us, I mean, you had to go to specialists because nobody knows anything about this.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Actually, it's really interesting how I got connected that I have a friend locally who has a brother who's an emergency room physician in California who's interested in weird diagnoses. So my friend sent him the pictures of my rashes and asked, well, what do you think this might be? And he didn't know, but his sister happens to be a rheumatologist.
Uh-huh.
And she got interested. And it so happens she was hosting the guy from the National Institutes of Health, who is the world's expert on these disorders, at her hospital in California that same week.
Wow, what a coincidence.
I know. So she showed this expert the photos, and he basically said, I think he has this auto-inflammatory condition, and he should connect with us at the National Institutes of Health.
And so it's called the periodic fever disorder, right?
Right.
But tell us when you went to this center for these people who were experts in it. Uh-huh. What kind of tests were they giving you? How did they come up with this conclusion?
They base it mostly on symptoms, and for most of these conditions, they're very episodic. That you have these flare-ups, and for example, a common condition are to have your what they call inflammatory markers go up. And so there's one inflammatory marker called the C-reactive protein. And it should be around zero. If it's above 5, it's high. And mine went up to 180.
Wow.
And that's what it just spikes up.
And so did they test your blood? Is that how
they do blood tests. And,
okay.
And so the blood test and the symptoms were consistent with the periodic fever disorder, which is sort of the clinical diagnosis. But they also do lots of genetic testing, and these are almost always caused by a mutation in some gene. And some of them are known and identified, but lots of them aren't yet known. And so in my case, they did a lot of testing at the NIH, and I don't match for any of the known mutations. So I'm in a new category there.
Oh, God.
And it's really a mixed blessing if you're interesting to the people at the National Institutes of Health. They say, Bob, we don't have anyone quite like you.
Yeah, would you mind staying here for a few months? Is that what they tell you?
Well, basically, they keep doing the testing. But what they're looking for are other patients who have similar symptoms. And what they will then do is compare my DNA to their DNA to see if there's some common link. And that's actually why this unit exists, is to bring together people with these rare diseases and find what common linkages there might be. And that's how they come up with the syndromes.
But they do think it's genetic. Has right. anybody in your family had any mysterious stuff
nope.
like this?
Nope. No, it is interesting that they wonder if it could be related to my breast cancer. You know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, breast cancer in men is rare. And I was diagnosed at the age of 40, which is even more rare to be a young man with breast cancer. And so, and what they are there are medical detectives. And they try to identify little factors and tease out things. And they're wondering, maybe there's a link, maybe there isn't, but they're exploring that.
So, but you fall on, you still have been diagnosed with periodic fever disorder, right?
Right.
So what are the different symptoms that you have that no one else has seen in anyone else?
Sure. One, my rash is very distinctive. And the one thing noteworthy about the rash is that I have, my skin is either bright red or pure white almost. And in most rashes, there are these gradations, the shading of red to pink.
Yeah.
But in my case, there are islands of bright red, and then there's a real sharp demarcation, and then it's my normal whiteness. So that's very unusual. And then the other thing that happens, about 3 weeks after a flare-up, the skin on my palms and soles peels off. So it just
really?
Peels off, and it's like this exfoliation, and then it grows back.
It's part reptile.
I feel like it sometimes.
So that's different than anyone else. No one else has that stuff. Does that hurt when the skin starts
it doesn't,
peeling off?
It just feels like, almost like a peeling after a blister or a sunburn. It doesn't, but fortunately it doesn't really hurt. It's just the very outer layer. But some parts of my skin will flake a little bit, and then I have the peeling of the hands and feet. Then it goes away. But I'm in the cycle where I've either, I'll feel fine for 2 months, then I get this flare-up where I feel sick, and then I spend a couple weeks getting better and my hands peel, and then I wait for it to occur again.
Oh, my God.
So,
and this isn't something you can do your own research on, because it's so mysterious, you could probably say, I don't have another disease,
Right.
And then look into it and go, this this factor isn't there.
Right. And, you know, I've been researching cancer issues for 20 years. So I'm really pretty good at medical research.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know where to start with this. And actually, I began to get some clues when I literally began to Google weird rashes.
Ah.
And let me tell you, you see some really odd photographs when you do that. But a couple of them looked a little bit familiar. And that kind of put the clues into my mind that it might be one of these. And the most common condition in this family is called familial Mediterranean fever, which has been identified for the last 30 or 40 years. And there are, you know, a few thousand people with that. But some of the other conditions, there might be 60 people with known cases. And right now, I'm the only person, I think, who has my little constellation of symptoms.
Oh, my God. It's going to be called Ritter periodic fever syndrome, right?
True. Something weird.
Oh, God. So you say that you started having the rashes in your early 20s, about 22. When you look back, was there anything in childhood? Because they say that a lot of these things do start in childhood.
Actually, it's noteworthy because in hindsight, when I was about 8 years old, I turned bright red. And I remember going to the pediatrician, and I remember the pediatrician bringing his colleague over and saying, look at this, I think he has surgical scarlet. And I've looked up that term, and I've never seen it anywhere, and I don't think it's a real term, but it certainly captures this sense that I was bright red.
Your whole body was, or just your face?
I think it was my whole body.
Oh, my goodness. And it wasn't because you were hanging out on the beach, I assume.
No. And it was, I think it was, I may have had some other illness or infection, and that seemed to trigger the rash. And actually, even today, it's often triggered. If I get the flu or some injury or illness, that will often trigger this flare-up.
Wow. Well, why is the word fever in it? Because is a fever involved with this?
In my case, no. But for most of these syndromes, yes. Oh. So most of them have a fever, sometimes a very high fever, that are sort of the hallmark of this. But in my case, there isn't really a fever. And it's mostly the rash and this sort of flu-like feeling and the skin peeling.
Oh, my God. Well, so to tell us how you feel when now that you know that you have this. I mean, has it made you more sensitive to every little quirky thing going on in your body, or do you feel normal most of the time?
Actually, I feel normal most of the time. And actually, this has been easier in many ways than the cancer, because when I was diagnosed with cancer 20 years ago, then I became very hyper-aware of every headache and pain, thinking, well, it might be the cancer coming back. And with this, it was really a relief more than anything to have a name to go with this, because, you know, it's just this weird thing that I have. And now I know more or less what it is. And that's very comforting to me.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be to a lot of people, because you gave me a sheet to read up on this, and it said that most people go undiagnosed. So they go for years with, you know, and the doctors probably think it's in their head or it's psychosomatic, that they're getting these rashes because of stress.
Right, absolutely. And people always say, well, it's diet or this or that. But you have to think of it more like, you know, my eyes are hazel-colored, and it's genetic, and this is kind of the same thing. It's my genes are saying this is what is.
So what has the follow-up been, though, now that you're a very rare being and you're famous in Maryland at the Institute? To tell us what the next steps are. I mean, are they going to continue testing you?
Yes. Actually, we're still doing more extensive testing. They're doing what's called whole exome testing, where they basically sequence my DNA and you get huge amounts of data. But it takes roughly a year to get all the results back. And what's hard is that they aren't sure who to compare me to. So with some of the conditions, if they have 50 patients, they can compare all that DNA. But with me, you know, they're almost waiting for more people to come through who look like me. So that'll be very helpful.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Bob Ritter. I'm doing one of my health challenges shows, and we're talking about this strange disorder that Bob has called periodic fever syndrome. It's in the autoimmune family, and then we're talking about this. It took many years for him to get diagnosed. Now, how are they treating this? I mean, that was the next question that I was going to have. Do they have anything they can help you with?
Yes, and actually there are drugs that they call biologics, which are used for rheumatoid arthritis, some other conditions, and they're designed to block the kind of inflammatory process. Mm-hmm. So we first tried the drug that works most often, called Anakinra, but it did not work for me. So I whenever I'd have a flare-up, I would inject the drug, and then I tried injecting the drug on a daily basis to see if that would stop the flares from occurring, but it didn't seem to have any impact. So I switched to new drug, so I'm waiting to see if this one will work or not. But it takes me 3 or 4 months to see when to be sure I would have gone through a normal flare period to see if it works.
That's interesting. You know, I've heard that some of these biologics cause real side effects. And I was wondering, since you're really pretty much able to live a normal life, What were the indications for going on these kind of heavy drugs?
Because the syndrome was becoming more and more frequent. And it was becoming more and more disruptive. And so in my case, it wasn't like I was deathly ill.
Yeah.
But imagine having the flu every other month.
Oh, God.
It just ruins your rhythm.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And plus, as the rashes got more extensive and the punk feeling got worse, I wasn't sure where it was going. You know, if it kept getting worse, it'd be a very significant problem.
Yeah.
And also, some of these things can do kidney problems, can cause kidney problems, some other issues, because it causes whole body inflammation.
Yeah.
And inflammation isn't good for your system. And actually, I did want to point out the distinction between autoinflammatory and autoimmune. That autoimmune, which is much more common, is when your body recognizes something and tries to attack it, usually mistakenly.
Yeah.
But with autoinflammatory, which I have, it's like your immune system randomly shoots up without any reason. It's like a dog barking in the night.
So it goes on alert.
Right. It just goes on the alert.
Yeah.
It thinks you have an infection, but you don't. But it's just this random.
So it starts attacking something that's not even there.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. With auto-inflammatory, your autoimmune, it thinks something is there, and it tries to attack those things with a very purposeful thing. But with the auto-inflammatory, what it have is more just this random buildup of the immune system.
God, almost like there's a burglar in the house, but there isn't. Let's go run in and get it.
Yes.
Wow. You know what? I'm really baffled by all these autoimmune and auto-inflammatory diseases because it seems so many people think it's environmental, but they say that yours is probably genetic.
Right.
But there's so many people coming up with these diagnoses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Venus Williams has that Sjogren's, and I know young people who are getting arthritis, rheumatoid.
Right.
And have they talked about it? Anything in the environment maybe triggered this even?
Probably not. But for a lot of these things, and certainly for cancer, there's often an interplay between genetics and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes your genetics gives you, you know, a weak link. And if you had that weak link, the environment might have some impact on it.
Yeah.
So there's often some interplay between the two. But certainly in what I have, it's you know, it really does seem to be a genetic force that's causing it.
Wow. So how did your family react when you got diagnosed with, once again, our our boy has a rare disease?
Here goes Bobby again.
And look at how healthy you look, you know?
Yeah, and it is funny because I do feel fine most of the time. And actually, it was interesting when I was telling people I was stepping down. Well, first, a lot of people assumed that I had a recurrence of cancer, which is a reasonable thing. If someone has had cancer, is working in the cancer world, and then they step down for health reasons, people would naturally assume it's cancer.
Exactly.
And that's one reason why I've been very open about, you know, this condition, to kind of let people know what's really happening. And my family was, I think they were they were kind of intrigued, too, because, you know, they've seen these rashes all of these years, and they didn't have a clue. But it really is, with a rare disease, it is a sense of relief to have a name and have, and also it was such a relief to me to go to the National Institutes of Health and talk to people who understood exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And they must have been so happy to welcome a well-informed person like you.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you could help them address this.
Right. And also, they were, I like to send them photographs of my rashes.
You sent me one, too.
Yes. But I try to smile in the photos because they get all these photos of people with these sad rashes and look so sad, and I try to give them a happy face from time to time.
Now, let's bring up the fact that you had breast cancer, too. Mm-hmm. You know, so how does this feel different, though? I mean, when you feel a symptom coming on, you don't get as panicked, or can you feel it when you're going to have a flare-up?
I usually can sense a flare-up coming on, and it's very episodic. With cancer, it was the single big event.
Yeah.
And suddenly diagnosed and I had treatment. And there's always this sense that it might come back. So I, in a sense, worried more about recurrences.
Yeah.
With this periodic fever syndrome, I know it's coming back. So I just sort of accept it and know it's going to come. And I also know roughly when it's going to come back.
Really?
So I can almost say I'm about due for a flare-up.
Yeah. I had somebody on with rheumatoid arthritis who said she could feel... Mm-hmm. When things were happening, and you know, when I leave the community for a while, it's not because I don't want to see you; it's because I'm having flare-ups.
Uh-huh.
That is really interesting, but it must be scary though if you're walking through Wegmans and you think, "Uh-oh, I'm going to be kind of ill for the next few days now."
Yeah, it is, and my barometer is my skin because I'll get a few blotches on my arm, and it will go from a few blotches to whole body in 24 hours. So, and the blotches usually begin in the same area. So I just sort of look at that part of my elbow and think if it's coming there, it's probably going to go full force soon.
And so when does the fluish symptom come in? Does that happen while it's happening or once it's taken over your whole body?
I usually feel a little fluish right before it begins.
Mm.
And I wonder if it's coming. And it's also interesting that I've talked to some other people with the condition or similar conditions, and we're all used to feeling bad because, you know, every couple months or some people have conditions that every, you know, they have a flare up every month. So feeling bad is not abnormal for us.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go with it.
You work through it or walk through it or move through it.
Yeah. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, am I sick, or is this just a normal blah day?
Yeah, but a flu would be worse, right? I mean, I'm not necessarily worse, but you'd be throwing up, and you would have a big fever probably.
Yeah, but it's a similar feeling in the sense that I want to go lay on my couch and do nothing more strenuous than watching TV.
Yeah, and can you eat?
Usually I can. I've been good at eating, so I can usually eat.
Yeah, so you can still eat. And are told to drink a lot of liquids.
Right,
but
just have very, very low energy. And
kind of malaise-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Exactly.
Yep. Wow, that is so interesting. You learn to live with it. Now, you've been an advocate for people being educated in regard to their illnesses and stuff. Mm-hmm. To tell us about that, you know, how important you think that is. And how does someone do that with this kind of a mysterious? Uh-huh.
I think it's really good to be open about things. And I remember when I first went through cancer, I made a conscious decision to be open about it and talk about it. And I found that very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I was dealing with what I thought was a rare disease, male breast cancer. And with this the same thing. I like to educate people,
mm-hmm.
and the best way to educate is to talk about your own stuff, so to speak.
Yeah.
And this is so rare. Even most doctors don't know about it. Even it's in the field of rheumatology, but even most rheumatologists never deal with this type of condition there are probably a dozen doctors in the U.S. who treat these things.
God, that's amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
And let's hope it stays that way, right?
I hope so.
We don't want to see more people diagnosed with this.
Right.
Because that might be a sign of something else, right?
Right. And actually, most people who get these conditions are kids. And it's very common to get them, I mean, some kids get them basically when they're born. And it's clearly genetic, and they have this sort of, they have all these multiple symptoms, multiple problems, and they're often sometimes diagnosed with some sort of periodic fever disorder.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, this is great to bring attention to, because, I mean, this does fall into the category of a lot of autoimmune and inflammatory mm-hmm. diseases, which a lot of people I've met have.
Sure.
So what about support? Do you belong to a support group? Do you think people should start a general one? I know you're so rare, you'd be the only one.
Well, actually, I'm a member of a support group through Facebook, through a group called the Auto-Inflammatory Alliance.
And
we're so widespread, connecting electronically has been such a blessing for me. And when I finally found that group to communicate with other people with similar conditions, and that they spoke about the importance of, you know, specialized centers and going to the NIH, and just to find people who really spoke the language. Because we're all misdiagnosed. We often spend years bouncing around, and it's like finding people who speak my language has been great.
Yeah, that must be really important. Like I said earlier, you know, there's so many doctors who probably thought you guys were nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they especially do that with women.
Oh,
it's in your head. It's
absolutely.
Don't worry about it, honey. It's just a rash.
They always blame it on stress a lot of times.
Yes.
If you don't know what it is, well, probably stress causing it.
Or a bad diet.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, I know you write a wonderful column about cancer for the Ithaca Journal. Are you going to write about this disease? Are you going to start delving into that as a literary person?
That's a good question. I might in some ways. But I think I'd probably focus it more on kind of a rare disease, living in that world as opposed to the actual disease because they're so rare. I mean, for example, with cancer, I can tell people, you know, with your cancer, this is how people typically react, that 50 might do this, 25 might do this. In my state right now, nobody else has this. So when I ask the experts, you know, will it get better, will it get worse? And they say, well, we don't know. You're right now the only person who has this. So we aren't really sure what to expect.
Yeah. And it sounds like does it ever go into remission? It sounds like it's stable right now, in whatever way that is.
Yeah, and I was asking my doctor about that during my last trip, and she said, you know, in some people it seems to get better, in some people it seems to get worse. Some people seem to have bad decades, but it's all across the board.
Yeah, so you just have to wait and see.
Right.
Well, I do hope you will write about it because I have met so many people who have these syndromes and in the line of these diseases. So, and, you know, any kind of words of wisdom would probably help them. Bob Ritter, we're almost out of time. Can you give some contact information in case people want to get in touch?
Sure. I love to talk to people. I'm still at the Cancer Resource Center, and even when I step down as the director, I'll still be involved with them. So you can write me at bob@crcfl.net. or call the center at 277-0960. And I love to talk to people about cancer or weird diseases and share what I know.
Great. Well, Bob Ritter, thank you so much for joining us. Again, this is one of my Health Challenges shows. We've been talking to Bob Ritter about his very rare disorder called periodic fever syndrome. And we wish you so well in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.